Look again, if you would, verse 22 of our text, and in particular, I want you to notice four words which frankly make all the difference in the world concerning this great story. It says, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. The four words that are in red letter in some Bibles are the words you'll notice, let us go over. And of course, following these four words, there is a story. It is a very familiar story that is recorded in the Gospel of Mark as well. And it is the story of a storm that almost, humanly speaking, took the lives of all of the apostles. Let us go over was the command of our Lord. Now I want you to notice the three words, if you would, down in verse 26. It says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. The three words here, now notice again, verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over. Specifically, let us go over to the other side. And verse 26 says, and they arrived. Well, nothing surprising there. That's usually what happens when you have plans and when you make plans for your disciples and the life and the ministry of Christ. Let us go over, and they arrived. Except, we know what happened on that day, because folks, inasmuch as they made it to the other side, you can be sure that for these disciples, they did not get there nearly as easily as they thought, nor as quickly as they thought, nor as normally as they would have. In fact, as a fisherman who lived and labored by that water all their lives, they had never in their entire careers crossed the Sea of Galilee as they did on that day. And of course, had they had their choice before crossing over, verse 22 would say, let us go over. And verse 23 would say, and they arrive. Leaving out, obviously, all that we know from verses 23 through 25. In other words, beloved, without the storm, we would not have the great revelation we have and all of its accompanying truth to learn from this morning, but there was a storm. And you know what? There are truths that God wants us to learn from this storm. And so it is that I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. I want to speak on the subject, the perfect storm. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, grateful for the opportunity we've already had of praising you and fellowshipping with you. And we pray now that you'll bless your word, the preaching and teaching of it. We commit this time into your hands, asking that distractions will be cast aside, that there will be nothing between us and you. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. A little less than 12 years ago, the then president, newly elected president of the United States, delivered his first inaugural address to the nation at Washington, D.C. At the very end of that particular speech, he quoted the Virginia statesman John Page, who, after signing the Declaration of Independence, wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson. In that letter, he said, quote, we know that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Do you not think that an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm? The president went on in his speech after that quote, and then he gave the very last words of his inaugural address when he said, quote, this work continues. The story goes on. And an angel still rides on the whirlwind and directs this storm. Less than 8 months later, on September the 11th of that same year, the storm would become so violent that most Americans were hoping, praying, that somebody was directing the storm, that somebody greater than they was riding in the whirlwind. It was a storm that intensified instantly, just as in our text. 4 years later, on August the 29th, another storm named Katrina would rock that same administration and the American people, many of them being reminded of those words of the president who seemed prescient, those words, hoping again some angel was riding the whirlwind and directing the storm. On September the 13th, 1513, Vasco Nunez de Balboa, the great Spanish explorer, climbed a mountain on the Isthmus of Panama. For the very first time, he set his eyes upon an ocean, a body of water that he had never seen. It was like nothing that he'd seen before, nothing like the familiar Atlantic that he'd sailed on with all of its storms all of his life. This water was calm And it was still that day, and he looked at it and called it Pacifica, meaning peaceful. Little did Balboa realize that the Pacific Ocean had its own share of storms to endure. In Luke chapter 8, we have the story of another body of water that was extremely peaceful most of the time. But a body of water which, because it was in a basin, a valley, the Sea of Galilee, would experience cold air coming down from the hills that surrounded it. The hot air would rise from the valley, and it would collide over the water. And in an instant, a tempestuous storm could descend upon that sea. In today's idiom, we say that a storm comes up upon us. But you will notice that Dr. Luke says something different. Verse 23 says this, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." This is the storm, ladies and gentlemen, that all of the Galilean fishermen respected and oftentimes feared. And this was the storm that our Lord Jesus would use in their lives to teach the disciples and to teach all of us here today certain truths that they would never, ever forget, and that God would have all of us to remember. There are at least four truths, and what are they? The first lesson I want you to notice, number one, concerns the command. Look again at verse 22. This is very, very important. "Now it came to pass on a certain day," not just any old day, this is a certain day, "that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." May I say that one of the reasons why, beloved, this is such an important verse and such an important statement in this study, in this story, is that it is a reminder to us that these disciples, note this carefully, did not get stuck in the middle of a storm because of their ignorance or because of their lack of experience. They were very experienced fishermen. And of course, it was not their disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ that got them into this mess either. It was, in fact, their obedience to him and their faith in his word that led them into their troubles. That's not all. Because enduring this fearful trial was neither the result of being away from Christ. It was actually the result of being with Christ and very, very close to him. Jesus said, "Let us go over." And the disciples obeyed and followed him right into the middle of a storm and a tempest. You see, folks, we might as well go ahead and believe the Bible instead of these modern day prosperity peddlers who teach that faith plus affirmation equals smooth seas. The Lord Jesus told Paul in Acts 23, "Fear not, Paul, for thou must bear witness of me also at Rome." Well, that was true. Paul obeyed Jesus. And you know what? He went to Rome and he also bore witness there. But do you recall, beloved, what happened on the way there? Do you recall the shipwrecks, the beatings, the trials? And do you recall what happened when he got there and when he bore witness at Rome? He did bear witness from a dungeon in shackles until the day that he was beheaded. Apparently, Paul forgot to name it and claim it. Jesus told Paul that he'd get to Rome. He didn't tell him the troubles. He would abide on the way and after he got there. I'm simply saying, beloved, that storms are a part of crossing over to the other side. That storms are indeed included in a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, just as are the blessings. And do not allow some television preacher to tell you or to convict you that you're in some sort of sin or disobedience because you're going through a storm. Sometimes Jesus takes you through the storm with him. "Think it not strange," Peter said, "concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." And of course, this is the same fisherman Peter who was in the boat in Luke chapter 8 who wrote those words. Jesus said, "Peter, follow me." And Peter followed him through storms, followed him through Gethsemane, followed him to Calvary, and followed him eventually to his own persecution and death. And by God's grace, followed him to the other side. The command to follow and to cross over. is not a guarantee of calm seas. But it brings us then to the second lesson in the text. We said, number one, there is the command. The second thing you'll notice in the text, number two, is the crisis, the storm itself. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, Christ did, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. You know, folks, there's a pretty good rule of thumb that applies whenever you're traveling by air or by sea, and that is this. As long as the professionals are calm, you know, the pilot, captain of the boat, as long as the man at the helm or the men in the cockpit are calm and collected, you can rest assured, even if the plane is going through some turbulence, that all is well, right? But whenever you see the captain burst out of the cockpit and he's screaming, we perish, we perish. When the captain says, abandon ship, well, you know what? Go ahead and be afraid. Be very afraid. Do you realize that's what you have in Luke chapter 8? Because these are not land-loving farmers who are panicking. These are seasoned mariners. These are fishermen who grew up on the seas and the shores of Galilee. But what do? They panic. And they wake up the carpenter, not the fisherman. They wake up the teacher and they say, Master, we are all going to die. In fact, Mark tells us their exact words were, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, are you aware this boat is full of water and we're scared to death? The last word in verse 23 is jeopardy, and this is no game show. The word means here mortal danger. I'll take instant death for 500. What is drowning? That's the kind of jeopardy that's here. Mark's gospel says this, it came to pass on a certain day that when evening was come. In other words, not only were they at sea in a powerful storm, but it was nighttime. You've been at sea at night? And then a storm arises. In every way, this was a crisis. It's a metaphor and it's a picture for any and every crisis that you have or will go through. There's consensus among writers that the absolute worst opening line, the weakest dramatic opening in all of literature, is the line, it was a dark and stormy night. Well, folks, this was a very dark and a very stormy night. So then, in every way, it was a crisis, right? Actually, wrong. In every way, it was actually not a crisis, because you see, folks, the truth is, no matter how dark it was, and no matter how high the seas were or how violent the storm, it never really was a crisis. Just before the Titanic was to depart from Ireland on its maiden voyage, an Irish pastor announced that week that he was going to be preaching on the subject, the unsinkable ship. And he did, but he told his congregation that he wasn't talking about, in his sermon, the unsinkable ship being the Titanic. His unsinkable ship was this rickety old wooden boat on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus Christ on board. You see, folks, it was not going to go down on that certain day because it was not in the will of God. And folks, whatever storm you find or will find yourself in someday, it is not a crisis that demands you to be afraid. Verse 25, he said unto them, where is your faith? You see, folks, look, I'm not saying anything other than what I would be doing as well. I would have been the first one to wake him up and say, Master, I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a mariner. Master, we're going to die. But I would have heard the same words they heard. Where, Jim Blaylock, is your faith? Our Lord did not rebuke them for waking him up or calling out to him. He rebuked them because they had a lack of faith. They really had nothing to fear, so that the very same waves that terrified them was literally rocking the body of our Lord to sleep. Because no crisis is bigger than the omnipotence of God. That brings us to the third lesson in the text, and that is, number three, the calm. The command, the crisis, the calm. Now look at verse 24. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You know something, folks? It's an amazing thing when you think about this. These disciples had just witnessed firsthand, had just seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears and experiences of miracles. They had watched the chapters before this where he restored a withered hand. He healed the centurion's servant from afar. He cleansed a leper, an impossible feat in those days. He raised the widow's son of Cain to life, a more impossible feat, resurrection. They knew that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a miracle worker and had seen what Jesus could do for other people. But you see, this was different. This was their storm. This was personal. And this was nature. This was creation itself. This was their realm, fishing the sea, and God took them to their realm so that they would be afraid in their world. And this was a man commanding a mighty storm to cease, and it obeyed him. You see, it's amazing enough for winds to suddenly die down, but with a storm at sea, even if they quickly halt, it would still take time for the waves to cease, right? But not here. Verse 24 says this, "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." Do you know what Jesus' rebuke was, word for word? Mark tells us that he gives two commands, peace and be still. First, he speaks to the wind, and then he speaks to the water, and instantaneous, the perfect storm turns into Pacifica, perfect peace. And understandably, the Bible says that the disciples were more afraid. They were afraid, but after they saw what Jesus did, the scripture says, they were more afraid in the Gospel of Mark. They were more afraid of what the one in their midst did than they were of the storm itself. And they said among themselves, "What kind of a man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Well, beloved, they would eventually learn what manner of man he is. He is God, who is more powerful than any storm that they or you will ever endure. At the turn of the century, a British naval officer was traveling to Africa with his wife, and they encountered a vicious storm. It was so bad, the situation was looking bleak, and at one point the captain's wife came to him and said, "How can you not be afraid?" He placed his hand on his sword that he was wearing. And he said to his wife, "Why are you not afraid of this sword?" And she said, "Because it is yours. I know you would do me no harm." The captain looked at her and said, "The waves and the winds are his, and we know that he would do us no harm. What manner of man is this?" Do you realize that this was a lesson that our Lord wanted deliberately disciples to learn when he calmed those seas? That he is God. There's always a purpose for every story in the Bible. Look again at this text, would you? Verse 22 says this, "It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with the disciples and said to them, 'Let us go over into the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth." Verse 26 says, "And they arrived." May I say this to all of the believers in this room as pilgrims on a journey to Zion? You will arrive at the other shore. You departed one day when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You became a child of the living God and a pilgrim and a stranger in this world, and you departed. And one day, you will arrive. Whatever storms, whatever dangers, whatever trials that you endure, the Lord is with you, and through them all, you will arrive on the other side. So that when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. 2 weeks from now, November the 30th, it will be the last day of the 2011 Atlantic hurricane season. Hurricane season over. It began, as most of you know, back on June the 1st. And soon it ends. And maybe on that last day, that crazy neighbor will take out all of his hurricane shutters. I don't know. Of course, Remo is that crazy neighbor. Hurricane season, and people will, some of them, because nobody likes storms. And nobody likes to be in a storm, especially when they're traveling at sea. And that is a reminder this morning of the fourth lesson in the text. We said there's the crisis, the command, the calm. But in the midst of all of this, I want you to notice that there is also, number four, their cry. They said in verse 24, Master, Master, they said it twice, we perish. The full line in Mark's gospel was, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They cried. Pastor, what am I supposed to do? I'm going through this crisis. I'm going through this storm. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You say, but Pastor, this was a cry out of fear and doubt. And Jesus' answer to their cry was, where is your faith? Yep, that's right. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I cried unto my God. I cried unto my God for help, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him and enter into his ears. Remember your own children? When they were small, and there was thunder and lightning and a storm outside. Remember what you did with your own children when they cried unto you? Sure, you would rather them have faith and not be afraid, but you heard their cry. Thou art the Lord who slept on the pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matters the beating wind and tossing billow if only we are in the boat with thee? And Christian, you are in the boat with him. He has promised he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Someone handed me a bulletin from a Roman Catholic church some time ago in Wisconsin. It had an amazing and sad statement from the priest. I'm going to read it to you from the bulletin. There have been a number of people leaving the church a few minutes after they have received Holy Communion. This is a great dishonor to our blessed Lord. The church tells us Jesus remains in our bodies 15 minutes after we have received Holy Communion. That means that our thanksgiving should be at least 15 minutes long. We should not leave the church until our Lord is no longer with us. No wonder there are so many people who are on the storms of life and afraid and fearful. Because I've got good news for you this morning. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Brother John Lowe's up in Jupiter Hospital, hopefully released today. What a faithful servant. Up in his 80s. Here in church every time he can, but he's growing weak. He had a dream a couple weeks ago about heaven. And he made the statement that if heaven's half as good as the dream, I want to go now. Do you know that he's going to make it to the other side? He may not get there tomorrow or next month, and maybe not for years, who knows. But he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In between, there are storms, there are trials, and there are temptations. And the Lord wants us to cry out to him and remind us as he speaks to our heart, where is your faith? Where is your faith? There are many people in this room that are going through storms. There is a reason why God allowed, in fact, designed it so his disciples would go through these storms, and they are recorded in the scripture for our learning and our admonition. Life is not always smooth sailing. If you're reading books and listening to preachers that tell you that if you'll just have faith or name something, you'll have smooth seas the rest of your life, then you're listening to false teaching. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? The glory is not that this life has gold and wealth and health for God's people. The glory is that this life is brief and Christ is with us through every storm. And there's a lesson. There's growth. There's glory that goes to God alone when we go through that storm in faith. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for the power of your word and the truth of it. And as we read the words, Father, when the disciples cried out, "What manner of man is this?" we're reminded, Father, that you were teaching them a crucial lesson they needed to know, that this man is God. May we know it today. May we embrace it and understand it. May we have faith for the storms and trials of life. And for those who have asked for prayer that are in great tribulation right now, Father, comfort them, strengthen them, help them. For those who are not saved, I pray convict them to their need of the Savior. Bless the invitation to that end, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen.